What would you do if you saw a glowing light you couldn't explain? What if you woke up in pain surrounded by creatures? What if your best friend was charged with your murder? Today we test the believability of Travis Walton's abduction.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
Yes, here we are, one of my favorite topics of all time.
And you're knocking it out now.
It felt right. You know why? Because this is the first episode after a 1 year, which our first episode was
aliens. That's true.
I came full circle.
Thank you, everybody who wished us a happy anniversary.
Yeah.
I didn't even see you. Did we even really talk about it on the day?
No, not really.
Yeah.
We saw it on Instagram. We said, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Somebody, and I hate that I can't actually shout them out, some paranormal podcast that we follow. Oh, it's like Curly Conspiracies. I think Curly Conspiracies. They just went to a convention, a UFO convention, where they met Travis Walton, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever met him
in passing? No.
No?
Definitely not in passing.
But this is a big one. This is probably top five ever alien historical
story. It is.
Story.
This one is, if you Google search it, you don't even have to scroll to like the two or three. It's on the first page.
Oh, yeah. This is top five, man. Even Google is like, hey.
Yeah.
You want aliens? Travis, take it from here.
Yeah.
Let's pass the mic to my boy, Travis.
Yeah. So how much do you know about this case, actually? A lot or little?
I know about what happened in the woods.
Okay.
And I know... I know some. I would say 60%.
Okay. All right.
I wouldn't feel comfortable telling. If you said no notes, off memory, tell them what happened, it'd be a bad episode.
You'd knock the water over and run like Chappelle.
Yeah. But I'm assuming you did a little research.
I did a bunch of research. I did a lot of really cool research.
You just have all your notes tattooed on your chest.
It's like a gospel.
I need a mirror.
But with that, are you ready?
Let's do it.
So yeah, this is definitely one of the bigger cases. But starting off, the Southwest is known for its encounters with the UFOs, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I'm not sure why.
Especially New Mexico.
Yes, which is also a great stargazing state.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a connection there.
Where the Vast of Night took place.
Yeah. Well, also Area 51.
Yep, right by Old Mexico.
Exactly. Right on the border there. But its neighbor, Arizona, has a few bone-chilling stories as well, like the Phoenix Lights.
In 97?
I don't know when the Phoenix Lights happened.
I think it was 97. It was in the 90s.
And also the Rhodes Disc photo.
The Rose?
Rhodes.
Rhodes.
Yeah.
The Rhodes Disc photo. Yeah. I don't know it by name, but I feel like if I saw it...
It's a pretty famous picture disc.
Okay. I've probably seen it. I just probably don't know it by name.
And also, the Travis Walton tale.
Yes. There's probably a fair amount of people out there that already at least know a little bit about this one.
I would not be surprised, but that's okay. No, sometimes we gotta do the heavy hitters, you know?
You got to.
So Travis himself was a lumberjack. He was working near a town called Snowflake, Arizona.
Ironic.
Yes, it is. Well, it's also in the mountains too, so it's not completely hot there.
So they're in, where are we at?
Snowflake, Arizona.
Right.
It's near the mountainous areas of Arizona. A lot of trees in this Apache Seagraves National Forest.
It's interesting how quickly, and I'm not native to Arizona. I've only been there and driven through areas. But it's very interesting how quickly the terrain can change. It goes from flat and those like saguaro cactuses to like grassy and trees within like an hour, depending on where you're driving.
See, my only experience has been in the deserts of Arizona.
Yeah.
Because my family lived in like the corner, Yuma, Arizona. So hot.
What was the name of this forest?
Apache Seagraves National Forest.
Oh, I thought at first you were like Apache. I'm like, I don't need to know if it's patchy or not.
No.
Like, they don't get a lot of rain, bro. Why are you messing with them?
That's funny. The year was 1975, and there was a 7-man logging team that was working in the mountains.
How thick are these trees?
Well, they like this like little team got the contract to clear as much as they could.
Okay. But is it 2-person a tree, you think? Or do you think
it's... No, they had chainsaws, man. It's 1-person a tree.
Okay. It wasn't like those really long saws where you...
No, like, no, not... This is in the 1800s. They're not building log cabins.
Okay.
So on this team is obviously Travis Walton and his good friend Mike and some other guys.
that's like the John Glenn, and you know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's Travis, his friend, and then some other
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the other sources name them, but they're not really super consequential to the story, so.
Somebody's like, oh my god, the Travis. It's like, what if their descendants, I know it's not that long ago, the grandchildren listen and they're like, oh, grandpa might be finally mentioned on this podcast where they're talking about Travis Walton. It's like the other guy's children just keep listening and looking for content that might name their grandfather.
Not today.
Like, not today. Not We're today. So sorry. Maybe the next podcast.
Not on Believing the Bizarre. So according to Walton, this is a quote, when people are younger and they do a lot of like physical labor, they get all amped up.
When they do really what?
They do like a lot of physical labor.
Physical labor.
Yeah, they get all amped up and they want to do something. So that evening, him and the rest of the guys, they go out in this truck and they want to go night hunting.
What are they? They're hunting nighttime? They're going to succeed.
No, they're hunting deer at night.
That sun's going down. We're almost there, boys. We're almost there, friend and other five guys.
Whew.
What's his friend's name?
Mike.
Mike. So it's Travis, Mike, and then just...
Other guys.
The extras.
Yeah. So they're going out hunting by truck, and they've got these guys in the truck, and Travis is there, Mike's there, and while they're hunting at night, they see on this hill above this huge greenish-blue blinding light. And they just figured it was like lights from like another hunter or like a fisherman, someone up in the area doing some kind of woodsman activity.
The woodsman activity.
Yeah. So this area where they saw this light, it's this thicker part of the forest because this is not an area that they had started cutting trees down.
So it wasn't patchy.
It was not. No, it's pretty thick actually. But they had taken a lot of debris from where they were cutting to this like clearing. So there's a lot of dead trees around.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the road leading up to this was also clear too. So there's like a road leading up to a clearing with a lot of dead trees around. Does it make sense?
So it's pretty open.
The clearing is open, but around it is a bunch of thick trees.
Okay. So, and they're in the thick area?
They're on their way to this clearing.
Gotcha. Because they're going to look.
They're going down the road and they see this light above this clearing.
Oh, okay. So the light is above the clearing. Yes. They're in the thicker area at the moment.
Yeah. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here.
Us, Mike, Travis, the five other guys.
The guys.
And the gang.
And the gang. And the lumberjack gang. It's crazy when you say lumberjack. Like, you don't actually think of that as a job. You know, like, for me, personally, you think of, like, lumberjack, you think of it's, like, some guy in, like, flannel in the woods chopping on trees, not really making a living off
of
it.
They probably hate their lives every time they wear flannel because they know they're being stereotypical.
Oh, I know, right?
Imagine their resume. You know when you put a job down and then you make some bullshit? Like, and I'm not knocking anybody that's worked at, like, McDonald's, but you're like, oversaw customer service.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Financially distributed currents. But it's like, what do you say if you're a lumberjack? It's
managed like lumber, trees.
Managed lumber, delegated tree
delegated,
distribution, destruction.
Leave manipulation. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what do you... I bet it pays.
There's probably
well,
a lot more into lumberjacking than we actually know.
Nah. I don't think so. They probably spent half their time cutting down trees and the other half at Patagonia picking out what color lumberjack, like, plaid stuff they're going to wear the next day.
Oh, yellow and black? This looks really nice. Match my blue jeans really nicely. So, like I said, they see this light, and slowly, they're all kind of seeing this thing, and they're like, we got to go see what this is, because it's, I don't know what that is. It's super interesting. So they drive up to the clearing, right?
I bet that the lumberjack was like, that's super interesting.
I don't know. Maybe their language was a little more rugged than what I'm saying. But they drive into the clearing and they see this thing hovering about 100 feet off the ground. It's got this blue-green light emulating from it. And it's in the air. And also later they found out they were not the only people in the area that saw this light. Other people in the area saw this light shoot up and fly away.
That feels very Dyatlov Pass to me, where, like, other people on the mountain saw.
Yeah, other people on the mountain, also Sheriff, got reports of people seeing this light, too. So, it was recorded. It's just interesting to note that other people share this experience of seeing this.
Right, well, more key witnesses.
Exactly, exactly. So, when the Lumberjacks pulled up in their truck, Travis did the only thing that made sense to him. He was kind of in awe. So what he does is he jumps out of the truck and he runs up toward it. He runs up toward this thing hovering.
I wonder what the end goal was.
I don't think he had an end goal. I think he just wanted to see the thing closer.
Okay. You know what? I could see that. And I wonder, I don't know if you touch on this. It's interesting that I feel like when you see something like that, it's only primal instincts.
And exactly, his, like reptilian brain. He's
towards it.
Yeah.
Where I wonder if the aliens had, and not to, you know, spoiler, but I wonder if they had any control on what kind of sensation it gave out. Like, I wonder if they could make people come towards it, or at the same time, if, and I don't know, guy one, guy two, man three, I don't know their responses, but I could see some people having fear.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Everybody else in the truck was scared.
Gotcha.
Everyone was like, Travis, get back here, get back here. They're calling him back. They're like, we gotta go.
Right.
We don't know what's going on. We gotta go. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he's just kind of transfixed, kind of like hypnotized by this light.
Yeah, kids, pay attention. The person that ran to the UFO is the one whose story this is about. So if you want to be famous.
He was the main character.
If you want to be on page one of Google, you run towards danger. You don't want to be man lumberjack number three.
You don't want to be Mike, best friend Mike.
Yeah, although better, he's a better role than
man six.
Than yellow, black, plaid, blue jean.
Like how you just trailed off.
Well, you looked at me like you were ready to continue.
Maybe you laugh, I don't know. All right, so Travis is probably way too close to this thing, right? And all of a sudden, there's a loud noise. And with that, there's like a blast of light, like shooting down. And Travis is blown back several feet, and he was not getting up. Now, the object was also making a lot of noise, like I said, and there's this beam of light, and it's shown. And this truck sees us, and they take off. They leave. They leave Travis there. They go for about 15 minutes, and they're talking and say, we have to go back and get Travis. We have to go back. Travis is still there with that thing.
They're like, Travis had my keys, damn it.
But they also see that this light has shot up in the air, the same people saw, and it shot away. So they know it's gone, so they need to go back and find Travis. When they go back, they cannot find him. They saw where he fell. They saw where he went down, but he's gone. So this is where the story starts to get a little strange.
This is where it gets
strange. Yeah, this is where it gets... Think of it this way. Think of it like a movie splitting in two different parts. You got protagonist one and the guys, and you got the other protagonist.
Uh-huh. Is this, so in the words of man number three, is this when it gets super interesting?
Yes, it is.
All right.
So the guys and Mike, they speed down the hill, and they actually go up to the police, and they tell them what they witnessed.
So wait, did they go to the police, or did they go to find Travis?
They go to find Travis first. They see he's gone. They go down to the police.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they tell them what they saw. But the police, they hear this and they interpret it as Travis is gone. These guys probably did something and they came up with this really lame cover story. So the police think at this point that Mike and other guys, maybe something got physical. Travis is dead. They think they've killed Travis somehow.
The police do.
Yeah. They're kind of assuming it to themselves.
They're like, I might just be a handcuffed manager. And a taser operator. But I know some lies when I hear them.
Yeah, so what they do is they bring these guys in over a course of several days. Because Travis is still gone.
So this has been a couple of days now.
Yeah. And they give these guys polygraph tests about what they saw, what's going on. And now we know that polygraph tests are not the most, like, reliable thing.
No, they should have did the Sheriff Diamond thing and leave the
recording on?
Yeah.
That's not what they did. They did polygraph tests.
Well, this is before it, though, right? What year is this?
75.
That's around the same time. They weren't on that Sheriff Diamond level yet.
No. Definitely not. But here's the thing about the polygraph. Six of the guys passed. One did not. His results
were... Was that Mike, or do we not know his name?
We don't know who it was.
Okay.
His results were inconclusive. So it's not a fail. It's not a pass. It's like somewhere in the middle.
So let me ask you this really quick.
Yeah.
You said other people saw the light.
Yes.
When does that come into play? Or like who saw it? Did they go to the police? Did the police talk to them? How does that fit in? Or how do the lumberjacks know that other people saw it?
They don't. They don't ever get to know that really until the end. But during that night, there were other police reports filed.
So it's under. So it'd be under police reports.
Yeah.
Okay.
After that, Travis gets. Well, we'll wait on that.
But it, so it's police. It's not like other people told the lumberjacks or the lumberjacks talked to other people. It was.
Yeah, there were other reports.
It's proven because there are existing police reports from the same night.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, that adds credibility.
It definitely does. So they all told the same story about what happened on the hilltop. So Travis at this point has been gone for 5 days. People are out looking for him. So Travis even later describes a scene that he must have been told later by his brother. Someone must have told him this because he couldn't have seen it.
Right.
That in that clearing, his brother was pulling apart branches because he was convinced that his brother Travis was dead underneath these branches.
Oh, like it was a literal cover up.
Yeah, like he could not accept that this story was real. He thought that these people had killed him. They buried him in the clearing.
Well, I don't blame him for that. I believe in aliens, but I still think my first go-to would be murder.
Absolutely. Especially because of the circumstances. It's night. It's dark and scary. There's 7 guys out there. Maybe he says something.
If you got 7 guys and 2 names, bad stuff's going to happen.
Maybe he pissed off somebody and they ended up just getting rid of him.
One of the polygraph tests, they got him hooked up. And the guy answered that question was like, so when you saw the light, was it super interesting? He just starts sweating. He's like, yeah.
It's pretty interesting. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't that interesting. And then you're like,
Zzz. He's the one that failed.
That's right. So something that amps up this case even more, that while Travis was missing, the media caught a hold of the story.
Well, I would assume so.
Yeah. The guy's in the woods. This guy's missing. Yeah, the media catches it. And everyone in the country is suspecting these guys of murdering Travis. So it's not just the local police department anymore. It's now become a media storm.
It's a very interesting scenario to be in because you want to tell the truth and you are telling the truth, your truth.
Yeah, what you've seen.
But it's like, you know, nobody's going to believe you. It's a tough thing. Telling the truth when you don't want to tell the truth is tough, but it has to also be very difficult when you are telling the truth and nobody believes you.
And you know it's not believable either.
Yeah. I will say, though, it's shitty that they left him. I get that it was primal. I get that it was fear.
Yeah. That whole scenario was reptilian brain for sure.
It's a little bit karma, right, that they're dealing with this for leaving him. Obviously, it's not their fault.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything about it. Did anybody try and bring him back? I don't remember that part.
They were calling for him, but they never actually got out of the truck to bring him back.
Okay.
It's like when you call a cat, like, you know, the cat's not going to come.
Yeah. It's like, shut up, pet owner one.
So that's all happening in this 5 days, right? Now let's cut over to Travis in the UFO over this course of 5 days, right?
I just want to say really quick, if this was like a Hollywood movie, I feel like the guys would be like on, like about to get killed, like hung. Like, I don't think they hung people back in the 70s. But like, you know what I mean? It's like that scene where they got the James Franco where he's like, oh, it's your first time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're like getting ready to get hung. And then the UFO just starts descending. And he's like, wait.
Oh, like totally like a Deus Ex Machina kind of thing.
He's like, wait a minute. They left me. I want to see this shit. Pull that lever.
So like I said, all that happened on Earth to the guys.
On Earth.
Yeah. So now we're going to talk about Travis and what happened with him. Have you ever seen the 1993 movie Fire in the Sky?
No, I actually haven't.
After this, you should watch it. The movie itself is fine, but there is a scene when Travis is actually in the spaceship.
Oh, so it's based on this story.
Oh, yeah. Fire in the Sky is about Travis Walton.
Oh, cool.
Spoilers.
Not the other guys.
No, not really. But there's a scene where Travis is in the spaceship. I would play some of the audio right here, but it's literally just all screaming. It is one of the best alien abduction scenes I think I've ever seen. It's so cool. It's terrifying.
Man, there are... Obviously, Signs is a classic.
But there's no alien abduction in that.
No. You know what's a really... There's that one. It's like the sky, Dark Skies, That one's not bad. There's some creepy scenes in that one. I really like The Fourth Kind.
I love The Fourth
Kind. That movie terrified me.
That's the one in Alaska,
they give
right?
you that document, yeah, with Mila. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna, I don't you know, the name. Resident Evil girl.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like they make it seem like it's a documentary, mm-hmm. but you know it's not. But
I love that movie.
When they, I think it's a guy, I don't think it's her, but when they like shoot up and they start levitating above the bed and they just start like the, it's speaking through them. And
yeah.
Like, I am God. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Oh my God. That movie. Ooh, terrifying.
Yeah. But this scene is good. I'm probably going to show it to you later. It's
okay.
good.
Okay. Okay. I was 1 year old when that came out. You said 93, right?
I did. Yeah. I was about two. So, but in real life, Travis describes the scene a little bit differently than the movie. It's not as dramatic. It's dramatic. What happens to him, but it's not like this. He describes waking up on the ship as like a slow process. He said it was like he was in so much pain. Well, go ahead.
He hit the snooze button a couple times. You never wake up on the first ring. Come on.
No.
Unless you do the thing where you put your phone or your alarm clock, you have to walk to get it.
But we have to do that
in my house. You do that?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
But he said it was like waking up in so much pain. He felt like he was actively dying. So he's laying on this metal slab. And he's looking up and he's seeing these really dim lights and he's seeing them, quote unquote, them. And fairly enough, Travis says he associated the pain he was feeling at that moment with the aliens. He said he was feeling this rage and confusion and pain, and he associated it with them. Whether it was actually them that was causing it, that comes into question. But at that moment, that's how he associated it.
Well, so by associating it, you mean that he attributes the pain to them?
He did. He did then.
I wonder if it was the shock of him falling back. You know what I mean? Because he got blown back several mm-hmm. feet. So I'm wondering if it was that. It's just when you make a new experience or that stimulus of seeing them. And so he's taking what he's feeling and what he's seeing and he's just mashing it together, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So let's hold that thought. We'll come back to that, okay? So, like I said, he's laying there in pain, illuminated by the soft glow of this light. And you said it before, he's still in that, like, reptilian fight-or-flight mode. And what he does is he tries to fight. It's an inverse of what actually happens in the movie, because in the movie, the aliens slap him around a little bit. He said he actually ends up slapping the alien.
No, I'm just imagining like a mobster movie where this alien's got like a fedora on. He's like, hey.
Oh, man. It's dark.
Stop wiggling.
But he lashes out and he hits the alien. And he said it was super light, like really light. And he knocks it into the other alien. And they both kind of stumble over. And what he does is he rolls off of the table. And he kind of backs himself into a corner-ish kind of area. And these three aliens are kind of like approaching him. And he said that they didn't have any expressions. He described them of being like typical grays, big eyes, little faces, big heads, smaller, about 4 or 5 height-wise.
4 or 5 feet?
Four or five, like 4.5 feet tall.
Okay. You didn't say feet. I didn't know if you meant right. that there were 4 or 5 of them.
No, there were 3 of them.
Okay.
So he's in this corner, and behind him he reaches, and he grabs this short, about 2-foot cylinder. And it's clear.
Oh, he knows where that's going.
But he grabs this thing and he kind of brandishes it like a cudgel, like a hitting weapon, right? Like a club.
Melee.
Yeah. And he kind of brandishes at him. And at this point, he doesn't remember much. He blacks out from here.
Seems like he blacked out at a very pivotal moment.
Yes, he does. So looking back at this moment, he concluded that he was lucky to be dropped off back home from acting like this, because he was acting in such rage. Like, how easy would it have been for them to just dispose of him? He's gone. But he counts himself lucky because he was returned. Even though he was threatening and angry, they let him live.
You want to know my theory on that?
Sure.
It's probably in terms of advancement and how advanced, and this is assuming the aliens are smart and better than us in certain ways.
Okay.
It'd be like a writhing baby. Like, if you had a baby and it threw something at you and it hit you, or, you know, it spit up on you, you're not going to, if you're a good person or parent, you're not going to throw the baby, or, you know, you're going to be like, oh, that's what babies do. So the aliens might be like, oh, this primitive creature.
Yeah, I'd say just even more like out. More like you like back a dog into a corner.
Yeah, a cat or a dog. Where yeah, it's like if it scratches you, you're like, well, okay.
That's what dogs do.
Yeah, dogs be scratching. So that would be my hypothesis on why maybe they didn't take action and hurt him or come back at him for lashing out at them.
That's what I think too. So from here, from this blackout, the next thing he remembers is waking up on the side of the road and seeing the ship fly away into the sunrise. So Travis is back after 5 days and 6 hours, and he ran to the nearest town of Herber, Arizona.
Herbert?
Herber. And that's about a good half an hour drive from Snowflake, or about 30 miles, right?
Wow, that's a long run then.
Well, he wasn't dropped off at Snowflake. He was dropped off near Herber.
Oh, okay. I got you.
So he moved about 30 miles in 5 days.
That's not that impressive. But, yeah.
Well, yeah. So he grabbed the nearest payphone, and he called the first person he could think of, which was his brother-in-law. He could only really get enough information to tell him where he was. And mid-sentence, Travis actually passes out. And his brother and brother-in-law were able to gather enough information about where Travis was to go and pick him up. And he woke up in the car with Dwayne, his brother, and his brother-in-law.
Would you be offended if your brother called, if you had a brother and he called his brother-in-law instead of you?
I was thinking that too. Maybe they're just really close together.
I bet. Well, I mean, you're like breaking trees because you don't believe, you know, I mean, you're like really looking for your brother. And he calls his brother-in-law. Maybe his brother-in-law had a phone number that was easier to remember. They didn't have cell phones then, maybe, so you didn't have a contacts. Maybe he had one of those 555s.
Maybe, yeah. That actually is a really good explanation for why he called his brother. I don't know why he did.
Your brother-in-law.
Yeah, brother-in-law. I don't know why. Maybe their number was just like super easy. It was like 123-754-444.
I probably wouldn't remember anything after that scenario, so I give him props for knowing anyone's number.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't. I know my wife's, but barely. So his brother-in-law and his brother Dwayne, they take him to a hospital in Phoenix. And Dr. Howard Candle was the first person to examine the dazed and confused Travis Walton. He ran blood work. He was looking for any kind of trauma and blood.
He found that brandishing weapon lodged deep inside.
Well, he was looking for like drugs that might explain this.
Yeah.
Alcohol, anything. He didn't find anything. He also looked for trauma on the body. But the only thing he saw, like, traumatic, was a puncture mark on his arm.
Mm.
That's the only thing he found.
Do you think he ate or drank anything
while he was away?
Yeah. Can you go 5 days without water?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But maybe the aliens knew that as well. Maybe they gave him an IV or something.
Well, that's why I was wondering about the puncture wound.
Yeah, that's interesting. Damn it.
We're going to start running tabs on how many times we say interesting. Maybe, but yeah, we'll do a giveaway.
That really is fascinating, though, isn't it?
It's very intriguing.
Break out my thesaurus. So the sheriff was actually so intent on seeing Travis that he drove himself to Phoenix to see him in his hospital bed. And Travis, at this point, he's very thin. He seems kind of dehydrated and malnutritioned, and he's got like stubble on his face, and he's still very, very weak.
Yeah.
But Travis, even though he's feeble, he talks to the sheriff about what happened. And it's funny because they said this was a media storm, right?
That was going to be my next question, yeah.
His brother actually tried to throw off the media the best he could by saying that Travis was actually in Tucson, Arizona, not Phoenix.
Oh, nice. I bet his brother-in-law didn't do shit.
It kind of worked, not really worked. They still knew he was there.
I'm just imagining like a horde of like 500, like an overhead view with like a mob is running to Tucson and they're, wait a minute, he's not there. And then they all turn around and they start running towards Phoenix.
Exactly, right? Just like dust flying like a cartoon.
Yes.
The National Enquirer tried their best to get an interview with Travis, but they would not let him do it.
It was too real, man. They couldn't do it. It's too real. They're like, we can't publish this story. It's too factual.
Yeah, right. So Travis, days later, he's in a hotel and he's still almost catatonic from what happened. He's so kind of numb, and his family is desperate at this point. So they put him under hypnosis.
Oh, this is like the Pascagoula then.
A little bit, yeah. And he was taken back to the part where he blacked out, right? The part where he's putting up a fight. So he sees himself going back, seeing himself fighting against the aliens, and then he remembers more. He remembers seeing the creature stopping, and just as they were about to reach out for him, they turned away and walked out. And Travis took this opportunity. He saw a door, and he took this as a time to try to escape. And he runs out the door into this corridor, this hallway. And it was curved so tightly, he could barely see in either direction.
Like a really windy hallway?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So when he came to the next door, he found it was an empty little room, and it held a solitary chair. Travis wasn't able to feel safe in this room until he was sure that the room was empty. And he doesn't see any levers or buttons or anything to, like, open a door, until he walks forward and sees on this chair that there are buttons. And when he gets to about the same spot as the chair, he kind of looks up. And when he looks up, some dots and lines grab his attention. And what he thinks this is maybe some kind of star map. So, like, the dots are stars, and there's, like, lines making constellations or trails.
That would be really, really cool to see. Like, I would love to see something like that.
I would, too. It'd be very neat. So what he does at this point, Travis slowly sits down in the chair, and he starts pressing buttons, trying to see if any of them do anything.
Dude, what if one, like, ejected him?
That's, oh my god,
so dangerous.
Yeah, he has no idea what he's doing, right? So he wraps a hand around the lever of one arm, and that seemed to control the display of stars, the star map that he's looking at.
It's their GPS.
And they moved and turned as he moved the lever. And when he turned around, there was someone who looked like a human standing in the doorway. And Travis begged this man to help, but something about the man seemed different or off. The man took Travis by the arm and walked him through a door. Finally, they stepped outside of the ship. As Travis's eyes adjusted, he realized he was standing in something that felt like an aircraft hangar. There were other ships like the one he had just left all around. The man led Travis through some more doors into another room. Three people stood there, but there was something different or off about them as well. He realized this was the trio that tried to wrestle Travis onto the table. One had a plastic mask on, and Travis was just getting his fingers under the edge to try to pull it away when the hypnotist snapped him out of his trance. And so, like many great alien encounters, Travis's life turned upside down since the thing happened. He wrote some books, he talked about it, but his life went completely to shambles. No one believed him. The police still think it's a hoax. But people have been writing about it since, though.
So, did anything happen to the other guys and Mike?
No, they were basically let go, or they were stopped being looked into because Travis was fine.
I wonder if they ever hung out again or had a discussion about it.
There was an article where a couple of the guys did a show with Travis. They talked about their experiences. So they didn't hold it against him. Travis said some of the guys are still kind of like holding that onto it because it was traumatic for all of them. It wasn't just traumatic for him. Like, they all had something happen to them. But yeah, that's basically the story of the Travis Walton abduction. So I have like two theories to talk about before we get to the discussion.
Nice. Okay. Let's do it.
So the first theory, what actually happened with the spaceship, right? I think what happened, when you talked about it earlier, Travis woke up and he's still kind of in pain from falling backwards.
Yeah.
I think that fall backwards was really devastating.
It broke him.
I think if the aliens weren't there, I think it could have possibly been a fatal wound, right? Like, if they hadn't picked him up, I think when they picked him up, they actually saved him.
So you think they cured him?
I think they realized that they could have killed this person, and they saved him from the injuries that they caused.
They don't want that on the record.
Yeah, scratch that.
So, because the doctor didn't notice anything wrong with him besides a puncture wound, right?
Exactly, right.
So there were no even bumps or bruises from his fall.
No.
So that's suspicious in itself. Like, obviously, 5 days had passed. But at the same time, you would think if he took that nasty fall, enough for him to be injured, something happened in those 5 days that made those injuries go away.
Mm-hmm. Like, have you seen like a nasty bruise? Just like turns from like green,
oh yeah,
yellow to like black.
Yeah, the green ones. That's when you know.
Yeah. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with them. So I think these aliens, I think maybe they did save him from what could have been really bad.
Yeah, and I mean, the puncture wound could have been something to sedate him, but also something to, replenish him with water. Mm-hmm. But that would make sense then. Yeah.
And he felt that fear and pain initially waking up, right? Maybe that's just like the initial shock. It's just like, oh my God.
Well, yeah, his adrenaline was gone.
Yeah.
By that point.
So I could have died.
Felt everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't blame him for associating with them. It's funny because when you were saying reptilian mind, which I know that's another way of saying like primal, but it was making me think like lizard people.
Yeah, these are not lizard people though. I think lizard people just would have ate him.
So just for clarification, when he saw them again, the three aliens, they looked humanish?
They looked more like humans than they did before.
I wonder if they were just expressionless in like that mannequin type of way.
Yeah, that's what he said. They're just like blank.
Yeah.
Blank. But he thought maybe it comes from telepathic behavior because like, if they can just like read each other's minds, what's the point of speaking? What's the point of making, you don't need to read body language if you just read each other's minds.
Live smarter, not harder.
Exactly. Yeah. And the other idea I had about this whole Travis thing is maybe you were right. Also, you said, maybe.
Wow. I did a good job.
You did great. You got 100 out of 100.
A+.
You said, maybe this light kind of let the aliens dictate who is drawn to it. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Because the other guys were afraid.
Exactly. Maybe that's what happened to Travis. Maybe he was drawn to it like a specific moth to a flame.
That would go against your first theory, though.
It would. Yeah, I'm absolutely saying that it was either one or the other.
Because it is kind of like a moth, then, where it's like if they were trying to abduct somebody, if they wanted to take somebody up and experiment on them, then you'd want to attract somebody.
Yeah.
And that's a good analogy as the moth. But it doesn't seem like it went according to plan.
No, I would say if that's what happened, they made a mistake.
So what was it? A blast? What made him fall back?
It was like a blast from the spaceship.
I wonder, do you think that was intentional?
I don't think so. I think they were trying to leave.
They were teaching him. They were doing maneuverability.
No,
you got to rotate it a quarter and a half. Oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly. I think they realized that they were caught at that moment, that they were being seen doing whatever they were doing. They're like, oh, we got to get out of here.
They're like, oh, this is great. Great area. Somebody cleared it out for us. They're like, alien number two, you turn the lights off, right? They're like, what? you turn the lights off, right? Well, when you put it in park, doesn't it? Alien number two, you didn't turn the boom. And then they hit Travis.
Like, exactly.
God damn it.
I like that scenario a lot. Personally, I think it's the first one if we're going to talk about theories.
No, it seems more like they noticed he was injured. Let's take him up and fix our mistake, even though he ran towards us.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the theories I want to talk about. That's the whole story. Let's talk about this in the discussion. So now is the time, before we dive into our discussion, that we take this moment and we want to shout out those people who have helped us grow the show, people who have given to us on Patreon.
You mean new patrons.
New patrons. Absolutely.
You're trying to really pretty that up.
I do my best. I do my best. So I want to go ahead and shout out Lucian and Alexander. So I just want to say thank you for the people that are supporting us. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoy the bonus content. We love creating it, and it means a lot to us.
So with that said, let's dive into the rest of this episode. So Tyler, I laid a lot on you with Travis Walton.
Yes.
What are some of your thoughts on this?
First of all, I want that constellation thing on the ceiling.
Oh, the map?
Listen, I need help from y'all. Every time I don't know the name of a movie or a book or something like that, you guys help me out. So I want help here. They sell like star constellation projectors so you can throw it on your ceiling. I want a good one. Listen, some of them are like, ooh, it's a constellation projector, but it looks like tie-dye blues and purples on your ceiling. Like, no, that's not the kind of shit. I want to see the constellations. I want the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper in my bedroom.
Ursa Major, Ursa Minor?
Yes, all of them. I want the bear, I want the fish, I want the lion, I want all of it. So if anybody has a projector that they highly recommend that shoots up constellations and stars and stuff, hit us up on Instagram. So here's my real thought.
Yeah.
Do you believe the hypnosis story? Because I think that there is the abducted on the table, smacks an alien, jumps off, brandishes the anal probe. And I think that's one story. And then there's what he claims to remember under hypnosis. And we've touched on this in a couple other episodes. Pascagoula, they didn't really remember much. They were just screaming and crying.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think it was... What was it? Was it Annalise? I don't know. There was one episode that we did where I thought we were talking about, like, the early 90s or the late 90s.
That's the South American alien, right? Where he has...
What? I'm talking about regression therapy.
Where
they found out people were having demonic experiences that weren't true.
Oh, I think that is Annalise.
Was that Annalise?
I think so.
All I'm saying is that... Do you think that his experiences that he recalled during hypnosis were true? Or do you think it was another line of regression therapy where things might have been planted or not intentionally fake, but kind of led down that path, almost kind of like a daydream / make-believe? Because I think those, like, so that would be the chair. That would be like the beautiful constellation thing that I want somebody to send me a link from Amazon. That would be the buttons, the three aliens with like the plastic mask over their face. That was all done through hypnosis.
Yeah, I feel like hypnosis is dubious a lot of the times. That's your
new dubious is your new credence. you've kind of given credence the stiff arm, and I would say dubious is now your
That's your a good word. That's a good word. But I don't know. It feels I could see a world where it would help. I don't know why it would be good for Travis to relive these experiences. Maybe because he is so catatonic.
Well, I believe, I understand the reasoning because it's supposed to open your subconscious. So I understand the theory behind it. I'm just wondering if you think it's true or not.
I don't think I'm black and white on it. I don't think there's the true and untrue. I think it's like 75% accurate.
So do you believe that it happened?
To about a C, yes.
So he saw the chair, he didn't see the cool projector, and they were wearing like a cloth mask.
Maybe he's remembering things not as clearly, and they're filling in blanks.
This is something I don't have an answer for. I actually want to do more research on my own in this in general with like the regression therapy, hypnosis, and how many true stories have been brought to light and how much of it has been proven fake. I know that's more diving into demonic possession realm, kind of. I don't have an answer. That was one thing that stuck out to me.
Yeah.
Cause I believe a lot of the rest of it. I do. So that was one thing that really stood out to me that I could really debate. Cause I mean, if you look at it, the light, multiple people saw it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Lumberjacks, there's Mike, and there's the other police reports.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped it when he came back.
Yeah.
So they had to buy into it at least. I mean, I guess it's not really a missing person or a murder when the guy's alive and living.
Exactly. You have no case then.
But there's still probably something you could charge him for.
Maybe falsifying.
Yeah. I have no
records.
Idea. With how much Law and Order I've watched, you'd think I would. But was that a fake laugh?
No, it was real.
Okay, thank
you. Laugh.
I don't know. A lot of it feels very concrete. This is a very, you know, contained story.
It's solid.
We both believe in aliens. It's one of the biggest abduction stories ever.
I think something that makes it even more credible, gives it more credence, is that all these years later, he still is giving the same story.
Right.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah. If you believe in the lore of alien and alien abduction, this fits. It's one of the grandfathers of it.
It is. Yeah. But it's also
grandmother too.
Really clear. It's a really clear story. It's easy to follow. It's easy to write a book about it. I tried to buy the Fire in the Sky book. It was $80.
Mm-mm.
I could not find it anywhere cheaper.
Mm-mm. It's kind of just an alien hit and run.
Yeah.
Well, and then it wasn't a hit and run. They kind of ran the Lumberjacks. It was like an alien bump and bring it up, and it feels less random.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, I don't know what the aliens were doing in the first place, but the reason why they abducted them. You know what's interesting? And it'll be interesting. It'll be intriguing to go back maybe, you know, a couple of years from now, the more alien stories we do.
Yeah.
And to compare how similar and different a lot of these were. Now, I'm not saying that these all have to be the same alien species that interact with humans. But if you look at the Flatwoods Monster versus the Pascagoula case versus the Kelly Hopkinsville versus this one, all very different types
of vibes, different encounters.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's like 5 million types of beetles.
That's true.
On Earth. So why can there be four different aliens in the entire galaxy?
I think there's definitely more than that.
So I think that's definitely possible. It really fits the mold of what we expect from our UFOs. And again, I harped on this in a different episode. How come the 70s, the 60s, 50s, they have all these great classic stories and we get Baker Mayfield sees a meteor?
It could be just awareness. Like, they realize that we're more aware.
I mean, it could be. But then that goes against the different species. Cause I don't think they all talk. Maybe they do.
Maybe it's a, group understanding. It's like, oh, they're starting to see more. There's more satellites. Maybe they're just understanding more.
Yeah. I guess it's interesting, though, because I do say that. But at the same time, there all these UFO, you know, studies are coming out.
And oh, yeah. There's so many.
That's another thing. I'm glad you said it. That always made me a little wary about UFO stuff is that we do have so many satellites.
Yeah.
Now, I guess that doesn't mean the people who see it are reporting it to us, or maybe they're just starting to do that now.
That's true.
But you would think that almost nothing would be able to enter our atmosphere without satellites picking up on it. That makes it seem a little unrealistic. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that they're being honest with us. And at the same time, we're also learning more about aliens and they're declassifying stuff. So maybe it's just kind of a wait and see type of a thing, but this fits what I believe alien stories to be. I don't necessarily know if I believe the hypnosis side of the story, but that doesn't make what happened false. Like, that's kind of like an extra.
Right.
Like, that's just more detail. The fact is, it's still the UFO takes them up, brings them back. I go believable.
Man, I go straight believable too. I believe the whole thing. And I believe the whole thing.
That's the mark of a good alien story.
So thank you for joining us on the Travis Walton abduction story. Like you said, granddaddy, grandmother, grandparent of the UFO stories.
So is he a ufologist? Because you said he wrote a couple books. And he experienced more than a lot of other ufologists who just are like us. And
I don't know if he would call himself a ufologist, but I would. Yeah, I would for sure.
When you think about people like Neil Armstrong, who are like, you know, first people on the moon.
Yeah.
It's kind of like there's like a subcategory of these people that have been in space too. You know what I mean? Like, I know there's been astronauts since, obviously, we have people in the space station right now, if you believe in space. But it's like, what classification do these people get? Just weird abduction stories. But you get to be on page one of Google.
That's true.
So how does this feel for you? Because you love this story and you got the thrill of telling it, but now it's done.
I know.
You done told it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about skinwalkers. I pushed skinwalkers back so long because it's like once you tell it, you done told it.
I know, but I feel like I spent it on a really good reason. So.
Oh, no, I loved it. And it's good to get it out there. And it's funny because actually when we first started the podcast, we wanted to keep things very granular. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I covered skinwalkers. So that's like skinwalkers 101. So maybe we can do another episode down the line where we just tell experiences that people had with skinwalkers. But now it's like we're putting out episodes accidentally that are like an hour.
Yeah, I know.
We've been like, you know, this will probably be a good 30 minutes. This will probably be a good, and it's like hour, 55 minutes. And let us know if we've already covered a topic, a big topic, and you would like to see episodes that are just purely more experiences of that topic.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think. And maybe we'll start putting some of those together. I mean, there's a million topics in general. We're not not running out of stuff going on here.
We're fine.
And next week will be another listener submission. And we'd love doing those. So if you're enjoying the podcast and you want to let us know you're enjoying the podcast, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Write a little typey message. We'll love it. We'll share it with each other. We'll post it on Instagram. Some of them don't show up on there if they're from out of country. We just got one from Katie in Australia. We shared that one. We really appreciated it.
Yeah, it was great.
So if you want to let us know what you're thinking about the podcast, that is a great way to go about doing that.
And you're really enjoying the show and you want to keep up with us, we're doing stuff outside of just this show. If you want to join us on Patreon, we have quizzes, we have director's cuts, we have our dramatic storytellings.
Extra segments, bonus content. Listen, again, if you join our dedicated tier this month, July 2021, you automatically get a free Bee Leaving the Bizarre shirt. If you want to know what that design looks like, head to our Instagram or Facebook. It's got a bee on it. It's got a UFO on it. What else could you want?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a great design by our friend Eddie. Very good graphic designer. So glad he's with us.
So thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.